This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. I'm Chuang, joined by Xiao Ning. In about give or take half an hour, we'll be talking to a science journalist named Laura Spinney, who wrote a book famously called Pale Rider. Not the movie, but the book.
Yeah, because, I mean, COVID-19 is not going to be the first nor the last catastrophe that's going to hit the world, right? So the last time there was a similar disaster this scale was in 1918 during the period for the Spanish flu that infected 500 million people, and that at that time was about 1/3 of the world's population. So Laura Spinney, science journalist and author who penned The Pale Rider, the book you mentioned, the Spanish flu of 1918 and how it changed the world, is going to tell us what we still need to learn from the 20th century's worst pandemic.
And which therefore makes it required listening for everybody and all and sundry. Okay, over the weekend, Beijing announced its plan to establish a powerful national security agency in Hong Kong. Obviously, this comes after China said it intends to impose security laws on the territory, unanimously passed by China's lawmakers last month. And this indicates that China wants to tackle separatist activity, subversion, terrorism and collusion with foreign elements within Hong Kong, what it describes as such.
Yeah, and the official Xinhua news agency reported that the law will actually authorise the new agency to carry out national security work in the city-state. It will also have jurisdiction over crimes deemed a danger to national security. Depending what that is. At the moment, exactly. It's undefined. And Xinhua also added that the new security law will trump any existing local laws that are inconsistent with its provisions.
With obvious ramifications, not just for the territory and for the rest of the region as well. So to break this down, we have on the line with us Carol Peterson. She's the Professor of Law and Graduate Chair at the Matsunaga Institute for Peace and Conflict Resolution. Prof. Carol, thank you for joining us. If you can, please brief us on what implications this new law would have on Hong Kong's judiciary and how exactly this threatens Hong Kong's civil liberties.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I think it's important first to remind your listeners that we haven't seen the actual legislation yet. It's being drafted under a real cloud of secrecy, and that's one of the things that is really frightening Hong Kong people. However, it is possible that when the actual legislation comes out, it may not be quite as bad as some of us fear. The other day, one member of the Basic Law Committee, Professor Albert Chen, who I used to teach with at the University of Hong Kong, expressed the view that he was hoping that some of the new criminal offenses will actually be fairly narrowly defined. If that turns out to be the case, it might not be quite as bad as we fear. However, there's no question that the secrecy is very worrying. And the most important question that I have is the extent to which the legislation will comply with the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. Because one of the things that currently separates and distinguishes Hong Kong from mainland China is that the ICCPR applies to Hong Kong, and it has been very strictly enforced generally by the Hong Kong judiciary. Hong Kong has an independent common law judiciary, and it has frequently held that all local Hong Kong legislation and all local Hong Kong government actions must comply with the ICCPR. Because the ICCPR has been incorporated into Hong Kong's domestic legal framework through its Bill of Rights Ordinance and through Article 39 of the Hong Kong Basic Law, which, as you probably know, is Hong Kong's regional constitution. However, the problem that the judiciary is going to find itself in, I fear, is that this new legislation is not local law. It is a national law that the Standing Committee of the NPC, the National People's Congress, is saying it is going to apply to Hong Kong by placing it on Annex 3 of the Hong Kong Basic Law. And the NPC Standing Committee does have the power to do that. Thus far, it has exercised that power fairly sparingly. For example, it used that power to require Hong Kong to prohibit desecration of the national flag. And we did have a constitutional case on that when I was living in Hong Kong, where someone challenged that law. They desecrated the national flag and marched down the streets of Hong Kong, and they were arrested. And it was a very interesting case because they were convicted of violating the law in the magistrate's court. But then on appeal, the Court of Appeal held that the law violated Hong Kong's constitution because it restricted speech in a way that was inconsistent with the ICCPR.
Yeah, Professor.
Then, let me just finish. Then they appealed to the Court of Final Appeal. And the Court of Final Appeal, which is in Hong Kong, it's not a Beijing court, they sort of avoided the constitutional crisis by deciding that the flag desecration law was barely constitutional because it was a restriction on the form of expression rather than the substance. So that at that point, we avoided a constitutional crisis, a situation where the Hong Kong judiciary found itself perhaps unable to interpret a local law in a way that complied with the ICCPR. Now, the real question, and again, we don't know the answer to that yet, is whether these new criminal offenses will be defined in ways that place substantive restrictions on freedom of expression. If that happens, then I think the Hong Kong judges are going to find themselves in a really difficult position because the NPC Standing Committee has the overriding power to interpret the basic law, and it could issue an interpretation that says we interpret this new law as being consistent with the basic law and basically tell the judges you have to enforce it. So we're really waiting to see just how restrictive the new legislation is.
Now, Hong Kong has always enjoyed its role as Asia's financial hub, but that also connects China to the rest of the world, and that's also premised on the back of the rule of law. Now, how will the passing of this new legislation affect Hong Kong's relation to its international peers?
Well, that's another question that depends largely on how restrictive this new law is. If it clearly violates the ICCPR, then there's a good chance that the U.S. will, under the Hong Kong Policy Act, withdraw Hong Kong's special status. At the moment, Hong Kong is treated as a separate customs territory for the purposes of trade restrictions, and so Hong Kong has access to certain technologies that mainland China doesn't have. If that is withdrawn, that could really hurt Hong Kong's economy. I have also heard many businessmen and businesswomen tell me that they're not sure that they want to have their base of operations in Hong Kong anymore. They might be moving them to Singapore or Japan because they worry about rule of law in Hong Kong. I want to stress that I still have a lot of faith in the Hong Kong judiciary, but I think that its hands might be tied, particularly if this new National Security Commission, which Beijing is threatening to set up, is seen as playing a significant role in law enforcement in Hong Kong, which would be a violation, in my opinion, of the Sino-British Joint Declaration and the Hong Kong Basic Law. I think the other thing that we really don't know too much about yet in terms of the economy is whether Beijing will keep its promise, which is this law is only going to affect a small number of activities by a very small number of people, in which case, after a period of time, perhaps people will feel a little bit more comfortable. But if it turns out that some of the leaders of the pro-democracy movement are arrested and tried, perhaps even not with a jury trial in Hong Kong, but by some other process that is created, then I think that's going to really destroy confidence in Hong Kong and its rule of law. The other problem for the economy is that we all know that a free press is very important in battling corruption. And Hong Kong has long been known as one of the best countries in Asia for battling corruption. The ICAC, the Independent Commission Against Corruption, is very well respected in Asia. But there are concerns recently that the ICAC is not as independent as it was prior to 1997, and that Beijing might be interfering with its activities. And that, combined with the possibility of restrictions on the free press, could really destroy the confidence of the business community that Hong Kong will be good at fighting corruption. So it's hard to predict the impact on the economy. We just really have to wait and see just how restrictive this new legislation is and whether the enforcement processes do comply with the rule of law.
All right, Carol, thanks ever so much for your insights and your honesty. That was Carol Peterson, Professor of Law and Graduate Chair at the Matsunaga Institute for Peace and Conflict Resolution. I think that's quite clear. She's made it abundantly clear that I think the messaging is that she still has faith in the Hong Kong judiciary. My fear is that the judges, if they don't comply with the spirit of the new security laws, might then be removed from the bench and be replaced by, shall we just say, China-friendly judges. I think that's the fear. And for the international business community, that's not optimal for them.
No, but we don't really know, right? Because even Carrie Lam
has not seen the draft.
Yeah, she has not seen the draft. No one has seen a draft except for the people in China who are currently drafting it now. So I think, to be fair, we have to have the full details. And it's also a question of implementation, right? So you have this national security law. How tight will the implementation be? How draconian are those, the new law? That's all questions that we don't... answers that we don't have at this moment.
Absolutely. And talk about implementation. We'll come back in a couple of minutes and talk to Nigel Wong of Mata about the potential of operating travel bubbles. So don't go away. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.